thank you very much for being here this morning. Brave in the weather that God's in control of and God's made. So when's the last time you were called an epistle? For me, I can't remember. That's why this lesson came about when I read this passage of Scripture this week. But the title of our lesson is You Are an Epistle of Christ. So you think about that. I'm going to ask, Luke's not here. He's a college student. Hannah's a college student. What's an epistle, Hannah? A letter. Her response is correct. It is a letter. Okay, or it could be considered a book of the New Testament, as we know. In the Old English, that the Latin was translated into Greek, means to send news. So our question, are we sending the news of Jesus in our lives? Are we a letter to the world? Are we sending news? And the Bible says, yes, we are. We're supposed to be. This passage of Scripture relates that. Thank you. Peel out the watchword. I haven't sung that in a long time. True-hearted, wholehearted. Peel out the watchword. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. There's a call come ringing. Sending news. This little light of mine. Sending the news. Our lesson text this morning, all our texts this morning come from 2 Corinthians. We're basically going to be in the whole chapter of the third chapter this morning, if you want to turn there. If not, it'll be presented to you up here. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ. Not written with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God on the heart. Let's just ask that question. When's the last time, you wrote a letter? And I thought about this morning. I thought about reaching out to those people that aren't here this morning and writing them a letter. Some congregations do that. Thanks for being here. Some of them, we're missing you. Just a reminder that we're thinking about you. I'm going to ask you to raise hands because it's not offensive, to ask somebody to raise hands. Who wrote a letter in the last week? Brad? Brother Brad? Hannah, is that you just thinking? Okay. If I was to think about the last time I wrote a letter, in our culture, but if I said who's how many of us text in the last week? How many of us face-placed, as my brother calls it, Facebook, wrote something on Facebook in the last week, comment? Right? Or if you read something and liked it, maybe you're just a face-placed stalker, and you just read what everybody else is doing, I fall in that category sometimes. You're sending a message. You're receiving a message. And Paul says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles, letters of accommodation to you, or letters of accommodation? You are our epistle written on our hearts, known and read by all the men. So I thought about that. What is my epistle, Don Smith? And looking at this passage, what the apostle says is he's talking to Christians, and he's writing to Corinthians, and he's writing to him, and he says, you are my message. I've left the truth with you, and as you are, as you live, as you behave, as you talk, you're the message that I left in the city of Corinth. So I ask us this morning, what is the message that we leave? And I'm going to say, well, Clinton County or Boone County. I could say Frankfort, Lebanon, Colfax. I'm not real good. Mulberry, you know, Canicksburg, Cool Lake. What message are we leaving, folks? Honoring each other's hearts. Is DC part of my message? That's what I thought about this morning. I thought about that. We are each other's message. When time is all done, this congregation and us as children of the Most High God is the message we've left for the world. I'm not leaving a message in Indianapolis. Maybe a little bit. Connor's down there. I got shared faith with him. He worshiped the Lord for a long time. Grew up, spent time with us. A little bit. We spread each other a little bit. But for the most part, our message is going to be here. What we send out to the world with the people we work with, people that know us, they're going to remember us, our Christianity is being here, and each other. And so I'm known as Adam's known, and DC, and Brad, and Joe. So when somebody sees Joe, he's going to see a little bit of me, a little bit of my message. Not just because I'm a preacher, only because I'm just a child of God. So us as children of God and members of the body of Christ, share in our message with each other. So how important is that? What part of my letter has Brother Phil written in our lives? Sister Matt. You see what I'm saying? That makes it a little more personal. It gives us a little more responsibility. Think about each other. And you guys can give me some feedback after a message or lesson if you want to. That's fine. I'll receive feedback, positive or negative. But what I'm saying is, what benefit would it if we decided within the next 2 or 3 months, give us 90 days, 30 days, that's a short time, that each of us sent a message to 2 or 3 people in the congregation, just a letter, thinking about you, hope things are going well, hope your holiday goes well. Hope you get your favorite dessert, Thanksgiving. You know? Some of us be happy with pumpkin pie. Some of us want apple pie or mulberry pie or mincemeat pie or any kind of pie. It makes us think about each other as Paul left the example to think about those people that he knew in Christ. I can surely get distracted when I push the button and turn the TV on, folks. I don't know about you. I even turn off the most special person in my life, my wife, when I turn that TV button on. Or computer button. Or I pick this up, start reading. I asked Lucas this week, hey, did you see that? See what? I said, you see who won down in Arizona this last weekend? Or who won at Charlotte? One place it's USAC, one non-wing sprint cars, the other place is Outlaws wing sprint cars. Lucas said, I've shut off all my social media. Here's my son on his own, 19 years old. Don't think it was benefiting me. I want to spend more time in God's Word. I was spending too much time out there, and I used to tell him this years ago, in nothing land, cyberspace. Let's make sure that we are in, when we are out there in cyberspace, folks, that we're sending a message of Jesus. If you don't know what the message of Jesus is or how you should be sharing that, turn that cyberspace off and go to God's Word. And be enriched with the Word of God. It reminds me, personally, instead when I open an app, am I opening a Bible app to read some of God's Word? It's here for us. We have a choice to be an epistle. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ. You are a message from Jesus to the world. And you know what? That may be a scary thing for some. Okay, we just had Halloween, you know. It's fun to scare people. It's fun to be different. The most shocking costumes win. What about being the best message for Jesus that you can be? Maybe we should have a holiday for Christians that says, hey, let's be the best. Let's imitate Jesus the best today that we can in all our lives. Well, guess what? Every day is a Christian holiday. That's why we don't have a specific one. Second Corinthians, continuing on in verses 4 through 6, it is written, and we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter of the Spirit, but of the Spirit, excuse me, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, when I asked you a little bit earlier if we wanted to start sending some letters to each other, you know, send a message. Some of us, see, I like to send a message. I'm gonna tell Brother Ed, that's not the Spirit of Christ. That's the letter of the law, not a letter of the Spirit. That's not giving life. It's just like Luke is turning off all the social media stuff. Was it giving him life? Or life more abundant? It was keeping him busy. And our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Just not Don, because he got asked to be the preacher. Okay? I'm just a Christian like you guys, and I'm asked to bring a lesson on some of you. That's it. I'm a member here of the body of Christ that we gather. Sometimes I sound like I'm a little bit better because I study a little more. But I only study more because you asked me to preach. So I thank you for that. See? You are helping me send a message. See? It's a two-way street, folks. We got to admonish one another. We got to glory in the things that help us enjoy life and present ourselves acceptable to God. To remind ourselves we are children of the Most High God. That the Spirit gives life, that we give each other life through the Spirit of Christ. And we need to trust Him, because it's through Christ toward God we do those things. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7 through 11, and continue on with our passage. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. And obviously I've highlighted in this passage, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. Well, what is the ministry of righteousness? It's our epistle. It's our message to the world. It's sharing Jesus with people around us. It's much more precious than holding the Ten Commandments in stone. How strong do you think Moses had to be to carry them pieces of stone? Do you think he had some Samson type? Just think about that. How many of us have picked up a piece, you know, I don't even know how big they are. Our vision and understanding of how big the tablets were how big? What we see on TV, right? It's possible. It's just flickering off and on. Just electricity. But you can imagine Moses bringing them tablets of stone down after God had written on them. And this passage says that the gospel of Christ written on our hearts is far more powerful, far more righteous, far more precious than those Ten Commandments. Now the gospel includes nine of those commandments, all of them except for gathering on the Sabbath. Jesus reiterated, you wonder why? Because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The problem is, people changed and modified the Ten Commandments to suit their needs. And Jesus came and said, hey, this is my message. This is my epistle to you. Continue on. Follow me. I'm not bringing you, well, he brought a new covenant just for freedom from sin. But as far as the truth and the righteousness of God, he brought all that stuff the same way that God did. The ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. We are asked to be ministers of righteousness in our lives, not just Preacher Don. Preacher Don has nothing to do with it. Following Jesus has everything to do with it. Are you a child of the Most High God? Continuing on in our passage with verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. When I read this passage of Scripture, I'm thinking, I think back when Moses came down and had that glory and that glow from being in the presence of God. And hopefully, when we see somebody that is the glory and in the presence of God and is following Jesus, are showing our epistles to one another, sending our message that our heart is right with God. Okay? But what happened? What did the children of Israel do when Moses came down and looked like that? Put a veil over your face. We don't want nothing to do with that. Can you imagine that? It's the same thing people did when Jesus was here. Jesus, we don't want nothing to do with you. We don't want to follow you. We don't believe what you're saying. What you're saying is kind of hard. And I dare say, folks, sometimes in our lives we struggle with the same thing. We still got that veil in our back pocket. We want to pull it out once in a while and shield ourselves from Jesus. Or we got a veil in our back pocket and I want to put that veil over DC because he's shining. He's following Jesus. He's making great decisions. He said something that's convicting from the Bible to me. Yeah, I'll put a veil over him. I'm going to silence him a little bit. That's what our world does. That's what hateful people and people that aren't following Jesus do. They want to put a veil over our faith, over our joy, over our epistle. Don't let that happen. I plead with you, brothers and sisters in Christ. Recognize it. Take the veil away. Christ took the veil away for us as an example. As an example. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty, there is freedom, there is joy, there is peace. You're not bound by sin. I saw an old friend Friday night at a football game. Sit down next to him. We came in. I went with Lucas and Allie and Connor to watch Western Boone's sectional championship game. And we went down to Park Tudor, and I sat next to a friend of mine. I looked at him and I said, man, I've been treading water all week. I've had a mess at work. I'm done with treading water. I'm glad to be here and just kind of relax and watch some football. And he says, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Free. I was free from work. Now, if I didn't have work, folks, be honest with you, God's word says we'd sin even more than what we do. There's a reason why God instituted us not getting manna all the time. Or free quail. Okay? And if you think that works, just read the Old Testament, because those people complained when they got everything for free back then. And they got it from God, all above. But the freedom, just being able to relax. To have liberty. And to feel that where the Lord is, where Jesus is. To be transformed by the Spirit of the Lord. But we all, with an unveiled face, what kind of veils do you have in your back pocket this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ? Satan, I'm walking down the street. I got no veils. And all of a sudden I reach my back pocket. Where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? Are we sending news? Good news. Are you an epistle of Christ? You guys will notice this morning I threw a couple pictures in just to change it up. I made the lines different, the colors a little bit different shape. Change sometimes is okay. But do you look to the cross of Calvary when you think of Jesus, even though he's the right hand of God in heaven? Are you an epistle of Christ this morning? Clearly, God's holy word says, clearly you are an epistle of Christ by the Spirit of the living God on the tablet of your heart. I pulled out an ink pen this morning, and you guys might have heard me. I had to write some notes down, and I was pecking on that piece of paper. Come on, ink pen. I see the ink in there. It's not coming out. I hadn't used a pen in a while. Wouldn't write. I wanted to write something down. What is God trying to write on the tablet of your heart this morning? He's covering a veil on your heart, or you're opening the veil of your heart to let God's holy word work on your heart this morning. God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant life. Folks, it doesn't matter where you've been, what you think, what you've said, who you know, who you don't know, and what money you got in the bank. God has made each and every one of us sufficient to be ministers of the good news. To have our own, each and own epistle. We have a ministry of righteousness that exceeds much more in glory. Remember that, folks. It's the right thing to do. It feels good doing the right thing. Okay? It feels good following Jesus. It feels good to say thank you, Jesus. It feels good to say I need some help, Jesus. Can you imagine not even knowing Jesus, that he was there to help? It feels good to say, thanks for changing my mind and directing my past and my heart not to sin, Jesus. That's good. We have such hope because the veil is taken away by Christ. Got that joy, joy, joy down in my heart. I pray that you have that joy, joy, joy down in your heart because Jesus has taken the veil away. Jesus has opened the opportunities for us for liberty. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The veil isn't taken away until somebody turns to the Lord, folks. It doesn't happen automatic. We talked about it in class this morning. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We are all being transformed into the same image by the spirit of the Lord. That's our heart. Where are we at, folks, this morning? You think that's the last line or not? Let's have a vote. I can't remember. I think it is. Because I don't have it written down here. So I'll offer invitation. Are you an epistle of Christ? And if not, make it right with God this morning. What's your message that you're sending? What is the letter you're writing to the world? May it be like Paul's and the church at Corinth. May it be something that is righteousness and brings glory to God. May it be something that edifies and uplifts and encourages each other. In Christ. If you have need to respond for any reason this morning, we offer that invitation as we stand and sing the selected hymn this morning.
While Jesus lives to you.